As a leader, you're the face that everyone will look toward on the subject of your women's ministry. You become the contact that the church is going to funnel inquiries to. You will set the standard for the rest of the team members in dedication and godly character. If there's a problem, you're going to be the one the church staff approaches in accountability. Women will stop you in the hallways and church lobby to ask questions, give suggestions, and voice their complaints or their concerns. You will become the face of your church in the community as the women's ministry serves in public spaces. The spotlight is on you. Your husband is watching you too. How much time do you dedicate to the ministry versus how much time do you give to the family? Is it in balance? Your children are watching. Are you giving the ministry and the women of the church your very best and leaving little left over for those whom you love the most? Your friends are watching. Are you the same person when you're standing before the church as you are on the weekend hanging out by the pool with your girlfriends? Your critics are watching. They are looking for your hypocrisy to show. They are waiting for you to make a mistake. The spotlight is shining from multiple directions. God is watching. His spotlight burrows past the superficial layers and into your heart. Do your words and deeds match the condition of your heart and your mind? Are the words of your heart and the meditations of your soul pleasing in God's sight? Are you adorned with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit? Are you clothed in strength and dignity? Have you put on the full armor of God? Do you have a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith? 1 Timothy 3, 1-12 gives the qualifications for overseers and deacons. We referenced this before, but I just want to repeat it again here because I think it's important. Here is a trustworthy saying. Whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable and hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may be conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. In the same way, deacons are to be worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then if there's nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, the women are to be worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be faithful to his wife and must manage his children and his household well. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Jesus Christ. Leaders are held to a high standard and will be held to greater accountability because their words and actions influence other believers. If your doctrine and theology is wrong, you're going to lead people down the wrong path. If you set a poor example in your speech or behavior, you're going to give the impression to others that that's perfectly acceptable. As Christians, we are to be noticeably different than the rest of the world, and those in leadership even more so. Since others will be looking to you, it's time that we take stock of our own character and witness. How do we present ourselves to the world, to other believers? And is that in line with our inner being? Do we put on a facade? Do we present ourselves as holy women while we give in to temptation and sin in our home life? A secret identity hidden even from our spouse or children? Is our inner self devoted to Christ, but fear keeps us from shouting it from the rooftops? Or are we authentic inside and out? Our need of grace, mercy, love, it fuels us to give those very things to others in great measures. I give grace because I need grace. And I love God because I need God. I served Christ because he died for me. I knock, I seek, and he answers. A strong leader, a strong ministry is not based on fake personalities that appear to have it all together. Perfect Christians? No. Broken women who God has repaired? Yes. our greatest gift to others is when we drop the fake and we share our cracks and our scars and we show where Jesus healed us. I'm here not because of anything I've done or anything that I deserve, but because of God's immeasurable grace. And through God's touch on our lives and hearts, we become new creations. As we grow more comfortable in that new skin, we become women of great beauty as God transforms us. Our true image bearer identity is revealed as we strip away the flesh and succumb to the spirit. We look different, sound different, and act different because we have been refined by fire, washed clean, and made new. So we walk as women with integrity. Everything that we do is done well because we do it for God, not man. Our relationships are strengthened because we treat others as God would treat them. We strip ourselves of pride, we speak with wisdom and knowledge, and we're trustworthy and dependable. We do not hide our sin, but we own it. We amend our mistakes, and we accept God's grace. We cling to faith, even when we don't understand what God is doing in our life or in a particular situation. We have a prayer life, and we study the Word, and we surround ourselves with those who will raise us up and not pull us down. Integrity will come with a price. You may have to walk away from certain habits, circles of influence, and things that the culture considers entertaining or permissible. We become people who step out in faith and trust God in situations that others can't begin to understand. In fact, some will walk away from us when we're no longer able to ascribe to those same ideals that they have. We do things like stepping out in faith as missionaries. And sometimes our own family is going to mock it. But we recognize that our ways are not His ways and our understanding is not His understanding. And we hold to the fact that He sees a greater picture that we're called to do or to go or to lead or to provide. And so we do. God asks who will go out and we raise our hand and we say, I will, use me. We will walk away from everything we have ever known to go to a place that we have never seen for no other reason than the fact that God called us there. We live out our faith. We attempt big things for God. We take a deeper look into ourselves and the words that we speak, and we examine our own hearts. And we stop using certain words or telling certain jokes and talking about things that we have no business. Gossip leaves us, judgment leaves us, and we're filled with the call to purify our words and minds and hearts with the Holy Spirit. We are ambassadors of God everywhere we go and in everything we do. How do we represent Him to the world? With our integrity, faithfulness, self-control, trust in His lead, honesty, loyalty, faith, and love. We are dedicated and determined to do the right thing, always, even at the cost of our own desires. We don't just hope that God will answer our prayers. We know with confidence that He will, according to His purposes. We set an example by having an active prayer life, a relationship with God, dedicated readers and studiers of His Word. We praise God, bear fruit, and we turn to Him in our times of difficulty and struggle. We advise from the Scriptures, not man's understanding. We are good stewards with His blessings, dedicated to the ministries that God has called us to, our marriages, our families, our homes, and our church, our community, and the world. When women in the church look to us, they see a leader who supports the vision of the church. She speaks well of the pastor and staff, as well as other ministry leaders. She understands the biblical model of conflict resolution, and she recognizes the gifts of others and helps them find a way to serve with their gift within the community. She leads with strength and compassion, dedication and loyalty in accordance to the Scriptures and under the authority of God. A leader of integrity will be above reproach, teachable, ever-seeking, humble in spirit. She serves not for glory, but to glorify. And when you step into that role as leader, as Paul said, you are seeking a noble task, and the Lord is going to bless you and equip you for every task that He calls you to. Paul loves God and recognizes that he still manages to do the things that he wishes he wouldn't. Temptation and sin are going to find us. We stand out in how we deal with those things. Being above reproach doesn't mean being perfect. It just means that when you make a mistake, that you can handle the correction. You accept it and you grow from it and are blessed by it. As you become that public face, understand that people are going to be looking to you as a model of how a godly woman should live. Model grace, love, hope, faithfulness, forgiveness, patience, self-control, humility, integrity, honesty, and an adoration for God. Look to the authority of His Word in all things. Pray for His protection over your heart and life. Have accountability with your spouse or a friend. always seek to do the right thing, brush off temptation. Be the image bearer that you were meant to be.